Now let's start with the passage that we're looking at in Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22. I'm encouraging you to try and memorize the bits that really draw it all together, the two red bits. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us draw near to God. That's like the heart of what it's all about. Let's do it. Let's come near to God. Well, we say it together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. If there's anything there that you're not sure about, we've explained some of it already, and we'll be explaining the rest of it, hopefully, in the next few weeks. But we're going to focus today on the stuff that's near the top there. The blood of Jesus, the new and living way opened for us through the curtain. That is his body. Now at the heart of the Christian message, there's a crime scene. And it's described for us there. There is blood. The blood of Jesus. And there's a body. The body of Jesus. And of course, that takes us to the cross. The most famous symbol of the Christian faith, which is not a pleasant thing. It's a rude and horrible thing. A wooden stake and crossbar to which people were impaled by the Romans as a means of grisly and terrifying execution for anyone that got in the way of the Romans. Now, preparing for next Sunday evening yesterday, and I was reading one of the historic accounts that was written at the time of the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And it was talking about, and I'll probably read this quote next week, it's talking about the Romans when they were besieging Jerusalem, gradually getting into it and taking prisoners. They were entertaining themselves by crucifying the prisoners in as many imaginative positions as they could. Horrible, horrible means of killing people. And that is at the heart of the Christian faith. The heart of the Christian faith there is a crime. Jesus was killed. Jesus should not have been killed. As far as his innocence was concerned, it was impeccable. But he was. He was killed. Why was he killed? That's the question. Why was Jesus killed? And we've already seen last week that he is our great priest. But as you know from reading the Bible, every priest needs a sacrifice to bring to God. And the answer to why Jesus was killed on the cross is because the priest needed a sacrifice. And Jesus is himself the sacrifice, which he himself, after the resurrection, brings to God the Father. He is priest and he is sacrifice. We have, as it says there, by the blood of Jesus and by the body of Jesus, a sacrifice. And in the light blue there, we have a great priest over the house of God. We have a priest and we have a sacrifice. And that is the starting point of all relationship with God. We might not like it. We might think to ourselves, why does God need a priest? Why does God need a sacrifice? Why can't God just kind of accept us as we are? Well, he loves us as we are. Do you want to stay as you are? I don't. I definitely do not want to continue to have the battles and the struggles that I have in my life every day. I don't want to have them for much longer. I certainly wouldn't want to live forever like this. I don't want to stay as I am. But God sees what you and I can become if we receive Jesus. And he says, why would you want to be as you are today when you can be what I can make you, which is so wonderful that you can't even begin to imagine it? God's not going to leave you as you are. And to get you from where you are to where he wants to take us needs a priest and it needs a sacrifice. And that is the long and the short of it. That is a fact of our existence. God has to deal with our sins. He can't just wipe them away. He can't just say that to us, you've sinned, but I'm not going to bother with it. Because you've sinned. You sinned against him. So there's justice got to be served. You've sinned against other people. And there are injustices that have got to be righted. And so you need God to take that seriously. Not just to pretend it hadn't happened and receive you anyway. Justice must be served. There must be a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that is provided for us by God himself is a sacrifice of God himself in Jesus. The one who calls for justice, the one who exercises justice in the world, is prepared to suffer himself for our sins. No one else could do it. I can't suffer for your sins. You can't suffer for mine. That would be injustice. But God, who calls for justice, he can suffer and chooses to for your sins and serve justice on them in himself. Pay the penalty. And that's what happens. We can, as it says in the middle there, draw near to God through a priest and through a sacrifice. Now, let me ask at this point, have you drawn near to God? Have you ever drawn near to God? For some people, that makes them think of crisis points. You know, the points in your life where your back is against the wall and you've got nowhere to turn to. And then you pray. That's what some people think of as drawing near to God. You pray when you've got no other options. In other words, you pray on your own terms. But you can't do that with God. You can't come to God in your own terms. So you need to think about it more deeply. And thinking about it more deeply, sometimes people think, well, maybe I can pray and sort of strike a deal with God. You know, make some kind of promise to God to make amends in some way for things that are wrong in my life. And sometimes people try to come to God and draw near to God like that. And they say to God, look, if you'll give me this, I'll do this for you. As though God was a business partner. As though he was an equal. And again, just think a little bit more deeply. God is not our equal. If God was our equal, we'd be in real trouble. Because who would we really turn to? If we can't help ourselves and God's our equal, he can't help us either. But think a bit more deeply and we begin to realize that God is far greater than we are. Far, far greater than we are. And that no deals or promises or coming to him on our terms are going to be of any help to us. We need God's mercy. We need God's rescue or we drown. That's the kind of situation we're really in. We are drowning people. We are people who, as we go through life, we're accumulating to ourselves more and more problems. More and more unfinished work. More and more loose ends. More and more guilt. More and more things that we should have done that we didn't do and that we didn't do, that we regret and we're sorry for and we're guilty about, and we get into a worse and worse condition. We sink deeper and deeper. It's not a deal we need with God, it's a rescue we need from God. And that is what God has provided in Jesus Christ. On his terms, a rescue, a priest and a sacrifice. Those are the terms of the rescue. A priest and a sacrifice. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's what the world needs. We come to God on His terms. We have a priest. We thought about that last week. If you want to, you can go back on the website and listen to that. And we have a sacrifice. So let's go back to some verses earlier in chapter 10. And let's just try and figure out a little bit more about this sacrifice. Jesus came into the world. Now this was God the Son, God the Spirit, God the Son coming into the world. But He didn't come as a sort of spirit, whatever that would have been like for us. He didn't come as a spirit. He came with a body. And the body was a body that was given by God. Verse that is highlighted there. A body you prepared. These are actually words from Psalm 40. A body you prepared for me. And Jesus came not to do what He wanted, but to do the will of God. What God wanted Him to do, which was to become a priest and a sacrifice. So He came with a body that would be sacrificed and a body in which He could do what God wanted Him to do. And doing that will, as it says in the verse at the end there, doing that will of God is what makes you and me holy, makes us fit for God's presence through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus, the body of Jesus, once for all. Priest and sacrifice. So, let's think about this more, just from the verses. Let's try and really get an understanding of this sacrifice, this offering. Let's have a few headlines. This offering is prepared by God. We read in Psalm 40, a body you prepared for me. This offering is prepared by God. God gives His Son a body, just like yours. Exactly the same in human terms as yours. A body. He perfects that body, Jesus does. Now, we haven't perfected our bodies by living the life God called us to live. We haven't. We've not done God's will. And because we haven't done God's will, our bodies are broken. Our bodies are places of failure. But, verse 7, Jesus said, I have come in that body to do your will. And so that body of Jesus, where Jesus has done the will of God, and that is the greatest achievement the world has ever seen, Jesus doing the will of God, there's nothing like it in all the world, in all history. There's some great men and women in history who have done some great things, but there's nothing to compare with what Jesus has done in living a life without sin, in doing the will of God, in keeping the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, in His own life, every day, every moment, every temptation, every situation, Jesus perfected His body. And it is therefore priceless. It's a priceless body. It's a body that is capable of amazing things. It can, as we saw there in verse 10, it can make us holy. By that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So when you look at Jesus, you think about Him as a human being, the body that He has can make you fit for God because it's a sacrifice. And it's therefore unique. That means there isn't anything else like the body of Jesus. Your body is not capable of what Jesus' body is capable of. Your body cannot be a sacrifice. It can't be a sacrifice for you. It can't be a sacrifice for anyone else because it's imperfect. You can only offer that which is perfect to God. And the only perfect body that can be offered is the body of Jesus. because only Jesus in his body has always done what God called him to do. It's a perfect body. And so this body of Jesus is, in the words of verse 20 in Hebrews 10, it's a new and living way open for us. His body. A new and living way opened for us. The body of Jesus. It's a revolution. The body of Jesus coming into the world, living Jesus for God, living a perfect life. It's new. That means it didn't exist before. There wasn't a way before to come to God. It's a new way. The word that's given us there as new actually means literally freshly sacrificed. That's what it actually means. Jesus' body has been freshly sacrificed for us. It's a living body. There we go, it's new. It's a living body. And it's a living way. That is, it's not dead. It's not current. It's not dead. It's not forgotten. Jesus' body's not in a grave. Jesus' body's not decomposed. Jesus' body is resurrected. Jesus' body is alive. Jesus' body is current. It is at the right hand of God for you and for me. And so this way is for you now. It's not just something in history. It's not just something for the Christians in the past. It's for now. And there's a word that keeps cropping up in Hebrews. And it's often translated as once for all. The body of Jesus sacrificed once for all. So when you look at the cross, you think that's for all time, for all places. Jesus, the body of Jesus being sacrificed. It's a new, it's a living, and it's a way. It is the way into God's presence. Don't go look in any other place for any other way. It is, as Hebrews 10 says in the passage we're trying to memorize, it is the into way, literally. It's the way in. Remember I used the idea of a slip road onto the highway. Jesus is the highway to God, and we need to get into that way with God. And it's open. It's a way that has been opened. And that means, like, inaugurated. The ribbon has been cut. The way into God is available today for you and for me. Okay, so let's put this all together again. I want to reiterate this. I want to keep coming over this. Because this is so important. This is the heart of the Christian faith. And if Christians don't understand this, they can't enjoy it. They can't use it. They can't come to God through it. They can't grow in their faith. What do we have here, brothers and sisters? We have a priest. So here we have it. The Father has provided us with Jesus, his body. The Son, Jesus, has taken that body, has lived a perfect life, and has offered that body on the cross, the blood of Jesus. And then he has taken that body after the resurrection into heaven, he ascended to heaven, and he is presenting us, the great priest, over the house of God in heaven, light blue words there, to the Father, his sacrifice for our sins. And just so we don't forget the Holy Spirit, the Father is here, the Son is here. The Holy Spirit, remember, was the one by whom the body of Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And the Holy Spirit, we're told in Hebrews, is the one by whom Jesus was able to offer himself as a sacrifice to God, who, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, God, the triune God, are working together on our behalf to open a way for us into the presence of God, into the very living, glorious presence of our God. These are things to rejoice in. This is the very heart of our faith. No one else can say that. No one else can say to you, I've got a guaranteed way to God. But the Christian can. The Christian can say that to the world. Everyone else says, well, you've got to work. You've got to try. You've got to try harder. You've got to make the pilgrimage. You know, you've got to meditate on, you've got to enter into higher states of consciousness, or whatever. All the different religions, they're about what you do, and if it's about what you do, there's no guarantee you can do it. And you can't do it anyway. We've already established that. Because of sin, we've fallen short, we're broken, we can't get to God. There's no other offer available on the table that's credible except the offer that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit makes to you and to me through Jesus, the sacrifice, and the great priest as a way in, a new and living way in to his presence. This is what we need to know as Christians. This is what we need to live in and rejoice in and feed upon and share constantly. The way is open. The door is open. The highway is open. The way in, the into way, that's how the word, what the word enter there in the second line actually means. Confidence into the into way is what it literally says. Into the most holy place of God's presence. We have that way in. And no one else does. And we need to relish it. And we need to evangelize. We need to let people know. We need to go over this again and again. You know, I mean, I prepared this sermon last week. And I was loving it. I was reveling in it. A couple of days later, I'm absolutely in the depths. Because of some things that are going on. I'm just in the depths. I've forgotten everything I learned 2 days ago. And then I get back into this again. I spend some time with God. I think about it, pray about it, and I'm back up again. But I'll be down tomorrow probably. Well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. But you know what I mean. This is what we need to do all the time. We need to keep on. You know, Christians who attempt to only meet with God once a week, or who attempt, you know, occasionally check in on God with the Bible, you know. Well, how can you live in the Christian faith? How can you live in the presence of God if you don't keep spending time going over and over and over? This is why memorizing this is a really, really good thing. Because if you find yourself somewhere, whether it's a traffic jam or whether it's digging the garden, you can read this to yourself in your head. If you're feeling down, you can take yourself aside and give yourself a good talking to. Roddy, you have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. You have a great priest over the house of God. You can do that. You make your faith live. You can re-enter the presence of God. And we'll speak about what that means more fully next week, God willing. And really relish that. Anyway, go over it again and again. We have a great priest. We have a comprehensive sacrifice. We might not like that it's like that. It's maybe embarrassing often in the world to say, well, actually, well, our way to God involves the priest and the sacrifice. Involves Jesus being killed on a cross. You know, that's not acceptable in polite society. Well, I don't care about polite society because polite society is lost without Christ. Polite society is living in a bubble of delusion. And most people can see that delusion today just by reading the newspaper or looking at social media. Toxicity is everywhere. And people don't know what to do about it. They really don't. You can see society just gradually disintegrating. And the things that bind it together gradually being teased apart. Without God, we need a robust and a radical solution, and it's found in Jesus Christ. So, am I ashamed today? Am I ashamed that I can never offer to God a good enough sacrifice? Well, yes, but it's not a problem. Because it's already been done. Am I sick today? Am I ill today? So I can't even think about these things properly. So that I don't even know how to formulate in my head a prayer or think clearly about my need of God. It's not a problem. God has a sacrifice for us. We don't need to fix it. Do I not really understand all of this? Are you looking at the man standing on the platform here and thinking, you know, I'm getting about 5% or whatever? Doesn't matter. You don't need to fix it. It's fixed through Jesus. You just need to trust in Him. Accept it and trust. As it says near the bottom there, in full assurance of faith. We'll think about faith probably after Easter now. It's very important. And confidence there in the second line. Faith, confidence. We need to think about these things. We need to trust. We need to trust what God has done for us in Christ. And that's where it begins to really live and work. We have a priest. We have a sacrifice. The priest has taken the sacrifice. Jesus has taken His body. He's gone bodily into heaven after the resurrection. Remember when we looked at Revelation last year, we saw that beautiful vision, the throne of God, and in the middle of the throne was a lamb looking like it had been slain. And that's a symbol, a picture of Jesus the priest with the sacrifice in the presence of God for us. So, we believe it and we trust it. So let me just finish with this. Don't let your pride get in the way of what I'm talking about. That means don't try to do anything yourself for this. Just accept what God's done for you. Have you ever been in a situation where you've geared yourself up for a big job? Whatever it was. You know, it was a big job. You were going to clean something. You were going to do some, you know, garden work, or there's some maintenance to do. And you got up one morning and you got yourself ready and you psyched yourself up and you're going to go and you're going to do this job. And you got all your tools together and the equipment you would need. And off you went to where the job was. And someone's done it already. That happened to me 3 weeks ago. I don't want to puff myself up too much, but just early afternoon, Bob Backroyd was going to arrive later in the afternoon, and I thought, you know, I'm supposedly the person who tries to do the dishwasher and things in our house, and there was a lot of stuff lying out in the top. I need to deal with it before Bob arrives. Very house proud, you know. And I kind of psyched myself up. I went into the kitchen. Right, I'm going to do it. And when I got in the kitchen, it was spotless. And Margaret just finished clearing it all. Now, gentlemen, how do you feel in that situation? How do you feel? Your pride is offended. You're a bit miffed. You were going to show Bob Ackroyd and your wife and everyone else who cared to come what a great modern man you were, or whatever. And of course it happens to us, whether we're male or female. You know, we gear up for something. We're going to fix it. We're going to do it. And someone's done it already. And our pride can, you know, can really struggle with that. And pride can get in the way of us accepting that the job's done already with God too. Because I know that we often gear up, if we're serious about God, we gear up. We're going to have a mighty time of prayer. We're going to have a marathon Bible read. We're going to go and do some amazing good deeds in the community. And we're going to come back to God at the end of the day. And we're going to be, you know, just like cockerels standing on our perch. Look at me. And God whispers in our ears, sorry, it's done already. Jesus, priest and sacrifice, it's all done already. It's done for you already. Never come to me to show me what you have done when my son has already done it perfectly in a way that you cannot do. Because if you could do it,
I wouldn't have sent my son to have to suffer and die for you. I wouldn't have needed to do it if it was something I could expect you to do. But it's not something I can expect you to do because you can never do it. You can never make yourself pleasing to me. You can never make yourself acceptable to me except through what Jesus, my son, has done. Never let your pride tell you otherwise. Never let your sense of that you have got a little bit you can do, something you can contribute, a work you can accomplish for me that will make me on your side and accept you and receive you and be impressed. Because you can't. It's because you can't that I sent Jesus for you. That there is a priest provided in my love for you. So accept the priest, accept the sacrifice, believe in him, trust in him, and draw near to me and stay with me forever. That's the invitation of God to you and to me today. And we are going to accept that invitation through Jesus. Are we not? Amen.